Peter B. Collins, News and Comment, Friday, June 29th, 2012. We don't always get it first, but we do try to get it right. More on that in just a moment. I want to lead with some program notes. I'm heading off on a week's vacation. There will be no News and Comment podcast during the week of July 4th. But I do have some great in-depth interviews that will be released to subscribers, including Medea Benjamin on her new book on the unmanned aerial drones and the Kill or Kill program of the Obama administration. Dennis Marker, the author of a new book called 15 Steps to Corporate Feudalism. He's got a lot to say. And the author of a new book about the impressive array of medical applications for marijuana, Clint Werner, will be joining us, along with Dr. Will Courtney, who is a marijuana doctor here in California. And our opening music today from Sweet back in the 1970s. It's called Fox on the Run. And I don't have an equivalent for CNN, I'm sorry. But the boneheads at cable news, so eager to be the first to break the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, both CNN and Fox blew it. Not just a little, but for 6 or 7 minutes. Their anchors and their graphics were telling people that the Supreme Court had overturned the individual mandate. Now, John Roberts is having the last laugh here because the Chief Justice wrote his opinion in a way that led them to jump the gun. Because the first portion of his opinion was that the Commerce Clause doesn't support the individual mandate. The reporters heard that. They ran from the courtroom or texted or however the smoke signals were used. And both CNN and Fox, so eager to be the first, really are the first cable news networks to blow something this big and have so much egg on their proverbial faces in a long, long time. And I hope that this is a cautionary lesson, particularly for CNN. It's in the dumper. It's in the basement of the cable news ratings. And frankly, they have earned it because they continue to chase Fox in this shameless way. And they need to regroup. They need to get rid of Piers Morgan. They need to shuffle their anchors. Wolf Blitzer is over. He's a former flack from the Israeli lobby AIPAC. And, you know, he's not really that solid of a news anchor. And I learned about this, as you're about to find out, from the most prestigious and credible source in television news. Now, that's not what I was watching on Thursday morning. I turned on CBS because I thought, well, Charlie Rose will handle this, right? But Charlie was quickly replaced by Scott Pelley, who did a credible job of straight delivery of the news of the Supreme Court's decision. And what is that most credible source of news and comment on television? Well, of course, it's Jon Stewart's Daily Show. And as we head into this long holiday break, I want to give you a few laughs here, because Jon Stewart and his team really skewer the cable news teams in a timely manner. Listen to the audio here from Thursday night's Daily Show.
But of course, the main story tonight, the Supreme Court's ruling on the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Yes, this morning, all Americans, indeed, all citizens of the world, gathered together to see what our nation's highest court would say. Would conservatives rule today and overturn the individual mandate? Or would liberals reign, granting the government power to keep old people alive artificially so that we may harvest their organs? That is exactly the question the court faced. And then suddenly, at the exact time we had been told the day before the decision would be handed down, pandemonium!
This is CNN breaking news.
The race was on! Which news organization would be the first to speak of the great decision? Who would emerge from the chaos as today's grand champion of news firstiness?
I want to bring you the breaking news that according to producer Bill Mears, the individual mandate is not a valid exercise of the Commerce Clause. So it appears as if the Supreme Court justices have struck down the individual mandate, the centerpiece of the health care legislation.
We have breaking news here on the Fox News Channel. The individual mandate has been ruled unconstitutional.
At 10:07 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and a photo finish with Fox News. CNN, by 8 seconds, was the very first organization to report the unconstitutionality of Obama's signature health care act.
Wow, that's a dramatic moment.
Yes. Yes. A moment of great drama. And like many of our greatest dramas, a work of complete fiction.
We're getting conflicting information. If you follow SCOTUSblog.com, which is covers the high court,
correct,
they say that despite what Shannon just read, that the individual mandate is surviving as a tax.
Boom! Fox News Megyn Kelly catches the mistake not 2 minutes later via SCOTUS blog, but CNN. Oh, CNN. Pobre CNN. They went, not 1 minute, 7 full minutes of unconstitutional mandate hyperventilation.
The court striking down that mandate is a dramatic blow to the policy and to the president. The justices have just gutted, Wolf, the centerpiece provision of the Obama health care law.
It raises questions about any of this health care reform law.
The direct blow to the president of the United States, a direct blow to his Democratic Party.
Yes. How will the administration recover after this incredibly public blow to their credibility? I mean, the administration. The administration staked their entire reputation on this important moment. And now the administration is out there, the face of this giant up. Sure wouldn't want to be the administration right now. Anything else you want to add, CNN?
We're getting widely different assessments of what the United States Supreme Court has decided.
Yes, widely different. There's what you've been saying. And then there's what happened. No sympathy, CNN! You've been driving us nuts with this for months! Ooh, the ruling's gonna come down, the ruling's gonna come. It was like Christmas morning for you guys. You were bugging everybody. Ooh, what are we gonna get? What are they gonna get us? Is it in there? Can you tell me what it is? What is it? Just show. Oh, can I shake it? So then you run downstairs and your parents are like, slow down there, Ace, we got all day. But you can't help yourself, gang.
I love hearing a Jewish guy use a Christmas metaphor.
Under the tree and you just, oh, I gotta open this up! I just go, You got me just red gunk and feathers, and I'm like, it was a parrot, you ass.
Well, he's so serious, it is hilarious. And it's so hilarious that it really is serious, that Fox and CNN are locked in this competitive struggle for ratings, the truth be damned. And what would it have taken? Yeah, they had to get to page 4. They needed to wait a couple of more minutes. And after I watched the breaking news on CBS, I did flip over to CNN, and neither John King, who you heard in tone that the mandate was unconstitutional, Wolf Blitzer, nope, not a peep out of him about, whoops, we blew it, and Bill Mears, the producer who was blamed for the original report, I think his days at CNN are probably numbered. From John Stewart, we go to political prisoner Lynn Stewart. She was the attorney for people accused of terrorism, and that included Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the so-called blind sheikh of Egypt. And this goes back to 1990s plots to blow up landmarks. But she was pursued after 9/11 and sentenced to 10 years in prison because she allegedly carried messages from her client to some of his friends and family. And I do consider her to be a political prisoner. I think that they made an example out of her to brush back lawyers, try to intimidate them from defending terrorists after 9/11, and I call for her release. It is a shame and an insult to American justice that she is still behind bars. Well, I want to send my sympathies to the people of Colorado Springs, where the fires there have just been relentless and brutal. The Waldo Canyon fire burned, 346 homes completely to the ground? And that's devastating. And I want to mention this, and I'm trying to be a little bit careful here in the language that I use. But when I look at the devastation in Colorado Springs, I am reminded that this is a very hotbed of conservative Christian activism. The Air Force Academy is there, and it has become this Christianist institution that discriminates against non-believers and people who are not Christian. It is the scene of many evangelicals, including Focus on the Family, James Dobson's ultra-right-wing organization. And when I look at this devastation, I ask these people who overly and overtly profess their religious beliefs in Christ and in God, why would he forsake you in this way? And it reminds me of the way that Pat Robertson and his buddy Jerry Falwell went on TV right after 9/11 and blamed that attack on gays. Now, I'm not going to step over that line. I'm not going to blame the people of Colorado Springs for the fire that destroyed their homes. But I'd like those of you who are hardline Christians to think about that and reject the ravings of people like Falwell and Robertson. Because most of those egregious remarks were never challenged by people of faith in any meaningful way. Here in California, we're getting more details on the budget that Governor Jerry Brown has signed. There's a little bit of good news in there that some of the state parks will not be closed. About 70 of them were threatened with closure, but private groups have stepped up to keep about 40 of them open, and another 25 or so they have squeezed out the money to keep them open. And I'm in favor of that. I support the parks here in California. But at the expense of deeper cuts to child care, preschool programs for poor families, student college aid, and food stamps. And I have to say we need to look for some creativity here. Maybe we need to host daycare centers in state parks. Maybe we should give out food stamps in state parks and let people who are homeless camp there. But the trade-offs that Jerry Brown and the Democrats have made to achieve what is a balanced budget with hostages, as I pointed out the other day, is really painful to accept. The hostages I mentioned are schools and school children and those who attend the university systems here in California. Because this budget is premised on the hope, the wish, the expectation that voters will approve in November an initiative that raises our taxes by about $7 billion. There's no guarantee of that. And so the brinksmanship being played by Jerry Brown is something that I have real concerns about. And of course, it's poor people and children who have no lobbyist in Sacramento who are going to pay the price. Here in San Francisco, the soap opera continues as the attempt to fire Sheriff Ross Mercurimi moves forward at the San Francisco Ethics Commission. Mercurimi testified on Thursday evening and again today, Friday morning. The mayor of San Francisco, who suspended him without pay in a way that I can't justify, is scheduled to testify before this commission today. And the commission doesn't make a decision. It makes a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and 9 out of the 11 members there have to vote to remove the sheriff. for that to occur. And if you haven't heard about this, before he was sworn into office in January, on New Year's Eve, the sheriff got into an argument with his wife. She is a former Venezuelan telenovela star. Yeah, a soap opera star in Venezuela. And she went to a neighbor and said that in that argument that Ross had injured her. He has acknowledged that he grabbed her arm at one point. And that is the extent of the evidence that we have. There's a lot of hearsay. There's a lot of backbiting. The neighbors say he wasn't a good husband. He was mean to his wife, yada, yada, yada. But she has not sought any protection under domestic violence laws. Despite that, the big brothers of the domestic violence community, I guess they're big sisters, have gone way overboard, and the mayor has responded in kind. Ross Mercurimi should not be removed from office because of this. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor. He's on probation. He's getting counseling, anger management. And we have a history of people who have served in that very job. There was a guy named Dick Hongisto who was sheriff, a very flamboyant guy who got himself into a lot of hot water. And despite that, he was later elected as the city assessor. He served as police chief. He was on the board of supervisors. San Francisco is a forgive and forget town. And this kind of zero tolerance for Sheriff Mercurimi is something that I personally don't tolerate. Here in California, we have two nuclear power facilities, one at Diablo Canyon that is owned by Pacific Gas and Electric, and the other at San Onofre, a two-unit installation that is run by Southern California Edison. San Onofre is going to be offline perhaps for the rest of the summer. And this is a good news, bad news thing. It will require conservation, and it will require us to generate more power from natural gas. But I'd love to see us get along without these nuclear power plants. And I just am crossing my fingers and hope that San Onofre never goes back online again. And before I leave you today, I need to share a little story. I am so frustrated. I had quite a week dealing with my telephone service provider, the telegraph division of a company called AT&T. And to make a long story short, I get my internet service via a DSL modem. The modem failed, and so I called them up and said, "Hey, phone company, fix my internet." They came out, they installed a new modem, and then they sent me a bill for $160. And over the course of a month, I got them to reduce that to $99. But they wouldn't budge on the $99 for the modem itself. And so I said, "Well, look, I'm going to dispute that charge. I'll pay the rest of my bill, but I am not going to pay this charge that I didn't agree to. And I'm not going to buy a piece of equipment that previously had been supplied to me by the phone company." So we go around and around. Then I start getting robocalls from AT&T, this friendly voice that says, "Hey, press 6 to pay your bill now." So after the fourth robocall, I call up AT&T. You go through the whole song and dance, well, their song, and I dance a little bit. And it takes 20 minutes to get to a human. Then I always ask for a supervisor. So on Tuesday of this week, a supervisor once again waived the charge on the modem and took it off my bill. And at the end of that call, I said, "Now you're going to talk to collections and call off the robo dogs, right?" And he said, "Oh, yes, yes, sir, Mr. Collins, we're going to do that. We really apologize. Sorry, we value you as a customer. We love you." And so I thought it was over. Thursday morning, I come into the office and studio here, and I can't make long distance calls. My service has been suspended. Another round of calls, another hour and a half, two more supervisors. "Oh, we're very, very sorry. We fixed it all. This will never happen again. You're fine. Yada, yada, yada." Friday morning, I wake up to check my email, and I get a notice that says, "Your service has been suspended." Another round of calls. First person I talked to, I said, "Give me a supervisor." Second person I talk to, please give me a supervisor. Third person I talk to, you better goddamn give me a supervisor. So finally, Mariana comes on the line, and she says, oh, we're so sorry, and we're going to fix it. And your service will be reinstated in any minute. Well, 10 minutes later, I checked, and I could not get my email. I called her back, gave her another rash of crap, and about 10 minutes later, the email started working again. And I want to know if you have any advice for me, because my only other option here is Comcast. And I have Comcast at home, and they're really not any better. So, thanks for listening to my whining. It's not going to really go anywhere. I don't have a solution here. But if you do, feel free to send me an email to peter@peterbcollins.com. And this one's for all those bozos at AT&T.
We don't know.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
Hello, I'm Larry, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
I'm Nancy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We don't know what we're doing.
When you work for the only phone company in town, you don't have to know what you're doing. And there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You can try to complain, but you probably won't get through. The phone company.
We don't know what we're doing.
Well, just don't try to call me. Because probably my service has been suspended. Have a great long holiday. I'll talk to you here on July 9th.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.